as you notice, I didn't put a scripture in, and that was not an oversight this week. As we go through our message today, it will be embedded in the message. First, I want to check, did everybody get a sheet that was numbered 1 to 12? Anybody need one? If you do, put up your hand. And please also see if you can find a pen, pencil, something like that. There should be some in the backs of the seats. There are 4 or 5 over on this side, David, as well. The choir get some? David, oh, we got lots. Can somebody help David? Because we need to hand out quite a few here. Coming. It's kind of a family day. That's what intergenerational service is. We may hear the kids doing a chatting over there. Just that's great. We're at home. Who else needs one? Carol, can you see? You have a halo. I feel like I'm a long ways away from you. Let me. I need wheels. Yeah. So, maybe we could reverse the lights as well, or you just got them off of the screen? Okay, thanks, Keith. So it's the last Sunday of actually our Christian year. This is the end of our Christian season, really, the end of the year, and it's called Reign of Christ Sunday. Next year begins next Sunday, and it begins with the season of Advent. So next Sunday is the beginning of the Christian year, and it begins with our anticipation of the coming of Christ. During Advent, we actually refrain from singing Christmas carols. We don't sing them during the season of Advent as much as we might turn them on in our homes, and we might hear them in the malls or wherever we're shopping or those kinds of things. We try not to do that in our worship services on the Sundays before Christmas, because then we circumvent the actual Christmas event. We need to, as with many things, build up that sense of anticipation, of preparation, before we actually get to Christmas. In fact, having Christmas carols or doing Christmas before Christmas is like doing Easter without Good Friday. Easter doesn't make sense without Good Friday. And Christmas doesn't make sense without Advent. As with all good things in our lives, if there's no time of preparation, if there's no time of anticipation, then the event itself isn't near as exciting if we don't kind of build up that sense of anticipation. So I invite you to join us over the next 4 weeks as we prepare for the coming of Christ, as we build that anticipation. And the worship team has been putting together some fun things for us to do during the season of Advent. Next week also, the chapel will be set up with an Advent wreath, with a larger Advent wreath, and we invite you to come during the Advent season a little bit before our worship services, where we'll have some Advent materials, and you can just sit in the chapel and spend some time in reflection and prayer before the services as we anticipate the coming of Christmas. But before we get to Advent, we have today, which is called Reign of Christ Sunday. This Sunday, as the Christian year closes, we are asked on this Sunday to answer a very personal question. After going through the stories of the Christian year, the Christmas story of Jesus' birth, after hearing about his teaching and preaching and healing, after agonizing over his death and celebrating his resurrection, after exploring week after week the stories of our faith, we are asked on Reign of Christ Sunday to answer this question: who is Christ to me? And has my understanding of Christ, my profession of being a believer and follower of Jesus, caused me to grow and mature in my faith this year? The new year, which begins next week, the new year most of the time focuses on the year to come. But in order to understand our future, we need to understand also our past. And so this week we reflect on the year that has been. And has my faith grown? Have I grown wiser? Have I grown more loving? Have I experienced more joy? Am I at peace? Those things that come with our faith story, has that happened for me in this last year? Today on Reign of Christ Sunday, I thought what we would do is we would explore our understandings of Christ and who Christ is to us. We come in expecting quite often in church that everybody has the same understanding of Christ, and of course that is not even close to true. What I believe about Christ might be something different than what each of you believes about Christ. We all have different versions of Christ. And by the way, Jesus' name was Jesus, not Jesus Christ. Christ is the Greek word. Christos is the Greek word for Messiah, and it was applied to him after his death. Christ was applied to Jesus and what he stood for after his death. His name was simply Jesus. What we believe about Christ might be something different than we know about Jesus, in fact. And it is what we believe, however, about Jesus or Christ that determines how we respond to him. What his presence in our lives means. What does our faith consist of? So, what I want to explore a little bit today is who Christ is to you and me. What versions of Christ do you believe in and follow? And we go through sometimes an evolution of that understanding, and what we believe today may not be what we believed a year ago or what we believe a year from now. So today I'm going to present to you some popular versions of Christ. It's not an exhaustive list. And you have your little sheets to write down each one and make maybe a few notes. Because what I'm going to do at the end of this, because we have different versions and I want you to see that different people do not understand the same things about Christ, is we're going to go through them again a second time. And then I'm going to ask you to put up your sheet and tell us which one is primary for you. Which version of Christ is primary for you? So, Keith, if you could give us the first version. We may need all the lights, yeah. So, we're going to call this one the Holy Infant. This is the Holy Infant. Now, this is the one we anticipate coming. This is the one that we celebrate at Christmas. Taken from Luke 2 at verse 4, Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Is this your version of Jesus? Is this the one you hold in your heart closest? A Jesus that is what we learned about in Sunday school. He's not grown up or matured. Is he to you still sweet and innocent and powerless? Unable to do anything in the world or in you? Is he just a child who was born into the world 2,000 years ago, and you're happy to leave him in the past? Celebrate him once a year at Christmas and then go on with your life. More of us treat Jesus like this version, whether we still hold Jesus as an infant. We treat him as if he's innocent and powerless and impotent to affect any change in us. Jesus, the infant, the holy infant. The second version. Jesus, the man. We'll call him Jesus, the man. Luke 2:52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor." He learned. He grew like any child did. He became an adult like anyone does. We also hear in Mark, "But about that day or hour, no one knows," Jesus is saying, "neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." Jesus didn't know everything. He said, "I don't know these things. I haven't been told these things. Only God knows these things." So in 2001, a British forensic scientist named Richard Neave set out to create a model of Jesus based on skulls they had found from first century Palestine, and based on what they knew of hair color and facial features and so on. This is probably the closest we will ever come to a true likeness of Jesus. Now, we picture him maybe in other ways. You know, the long hair. Often we depict him in the West as white, which of course he wasn't. But we don't usually see Jesus this way. He would have been about 5 feet 1 inch tall and about 110 pounds. He obviously did not stand out in a crowd. We think he was the handsome, tall, big guy. He obviously didn't stand out because we read in Scripture when Judas brought the soldiers to come and get him, he looked like everybody else. Judas had to identify him to the soldiers because they didn't know him. He was an extraordinary, probably looking. This is closest to what we might get. But was Jesus to you a man and only a man? No more a child of God than you and I were be. Granted, he was probably charismatic, and he set about to change the world, and a movement grew up around him, as it does with many spiritual people, rabbis. But did they declare him the long-awaited Messiah? The Jews did not, because the Messiah was not anything but a man. Do you think he was just a man, not God? A special man, for sure. Let's see the next picture, Keith. Buddy Jesus. This is Buddy Jesus. Jesus said, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." Jesus said, "I'm your friend. You're my friend. I no longer call you servants." You know that line from the hymn, "And he walks with me and he talks with me." Is Jesus your buddy, your friend, someone you can sit down and have a little chat with, have an intimate relationship with, feel comfortable with? Do you love him as a friend and know that he loves you as a friend? Do you converse with him on a regular basis as you would with any friend and depend on him to be with you through tough times to support and encourage you? Is this your version of Jesus? Let's see the next one, Keith. This one does have a title by its drawer, the artist who did it, and it's called "Jesus Christ, Liberator." Most often, if you've seen this picture, it's called the Laughing Jesus. And you can see why they would title that. But the fellow who did it in the early 1970s was a United Church artist. He worked for the United Church. His name is Willis Wheatley. This picture is known around the world now. It became quite popular, even though he drew four of them. But he drew this one, called Jesus Christ the Liberator. Galatians 5:1 says to us about Jesus, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Is freedom your understanding of Jesus? Do you think that Jesus came to set the world free, to set us free? That his main purpose is about freedom? It's not a freedom that comes without struggle. But it is liberation in the midst of struggle. Is it this Jesus that you feel closest to? A Jesus who has come to free you from whatever oppresses you, to come to free the world from whatever oppresses it. Next one, Keith. Most people don't think of Jesus this way. This is Jesus the judge. Comes from this scripture, Matthew 21:12. "Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves." He is the judge. In Timothy speaks of being in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and of the dead. Do you see Jesus more as a judge who holds you as guilty, both in the present and he will judge you in the future? Is Jesus to you all about justice? There are two ways that we see Jesus as judge. He judges us for our sin, and he expects justice to be done on earth and urges us to live justly in the world and holds us accountable for the way we practice mercy and compassion and justice. Is that the Jesus that you follow? The Jesus who calls you to practice justice. The next one. Christ the Good Shepherd. Christ the Good Shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." We all love, it's probably the most popular scripture to do at a memorial service, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Is this your version of Jesus? One who tends to the flock, one who gathers us in, leads, seeks, protects, provides for our needs. It's funny to me that we see Jesus as gentle and compassionate and caring, even though the shepherds themselves were rough and smelly and uncouth. If you wanted to learn the bad language of the day, ask a shepherd. They'd know it all. But we have traditionally tended to show Jesus in this manner, as a gentle shepherd caring for the lambs, tender, meek, and mild. Is this your version? What you think of most when you think of Jesus the Christ? Next one. This one is a very familiar one. When I used it, DeWinton, they have it up on their wall. Many churches put this up at one time. Jesus as rabbi or teacher. Jesus as rabbi. In Matthew, it says that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Is Jesus to you an extraordinary teacher? One who teaches us how to be moral, how to live? Is he the rabbi at whose feet we would go to sit and absorb his wisdom and truth? Do we look at him and say, he's the one who gives us our life lessons, and if we follow him, we will live a good Christian life, whether he is human or godly? Is he to you a good teacher, a rabbi? Next one, Keith. Jesus the spiritual guru. Jesus the spiritual guru. In John Jesus says, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." This is typical John. Typical John was to say, separate the flesh from the spirit, and we are to be spiritual beings. So tend to your spiritual nature. This is the Jesus who calls us to rise above the body, rise above anything mundane or small in our lives, and engage the spiritual life, to engage in spiritual practices that get us in touch with our spiritual nature, to transcend that veil between the material and the spiritual, and to grow in maturity and wisdom and peace and joy and love, and to not be bogged down by the things of the world, to be grounded always and centered in God. Is that Jesus to you? The next one, probably our most traditional understanding of Christ, if it's not the picture we put up most often, you can understand why, although we do put up a cross. Christ the Savior. Christ the Savior. In Matthew 1, it says, "Mary will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." And in Luke, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is perhaps our most traditional understanding of Jesus, the Son of God, sent by God to save us from our sins, who, when he went to the cross, was somehow able to take our sins onto himself and to wipe them clean so that we could someday go to heaven. God required him to redeem us from our sins, to take on the punishment that we deserve. Next, Heath. Christ the King, or Lord. Christ the King, or Lord Jesus the Christ. In Luke, it says, "Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this man perverting our nation, permitting us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king.' Then Pilate asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' He answered, 'You say so.'" And in Romans we hear, "Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." He's a king, Lord. In 1950, a little book came out for youth. It was written by a man named Clive Staples Lewis. Many of us know him by C.S. Lewis. And the book was called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It was very popular in its day, and it still is very popular as a young person's book, or I still love it. It became a bestseller. And in it, Lewis imagined Jesus as a lion. He imagined Jesus as a lion, the king of the beasts and the lord of Narnia. This version of Jesus, if we held this version, puts him in a place of ruling over the world, of being the ruler of all things. He is Lord of all, and in this version, he deserves our service, our praise, and our obedience. In this relationship, we are to look to him as our king and ruler and give him our allegiance, to take up his cause and fight for what would please and honor him. It's a very different version from others I have mentioned already. And the next one, what does this have to do with Christ? I call this the cosmic Christ. Cosmic Christ. In Colossians 1, we read this: "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, though things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together." this Christ and the way we see this Christ is that he is whatever we would consider the essence of all things, the creative energy behind all things, the transformative energy that pervades the universe and animates all life. In this version of Christ, we feel that we can join the cosmic Christ and understand the oneness of all things and the interconnectedness of all things. That's the cosmic Christ. The one who undergirds is the energy underneath all things. And finally, Keith. Jesus is. You may have another version of Jesus that you think of. As I said, my list isn't exhaustive. You may see him as a healer, as Cynthia pointed out earlier in his story. You may see him, as they pointed out in Dwinton, as a protector. Someone who watches over you and protects you from things. If you have another image, you can write that in there. We don't all have the same version of Christ, as is obvious. Let's go back to the first one again, Keith. I want to ask you now, which one is your primary or dominant version of Jesus? Who do you think of Jesus? Because you're going to look around and see that other people have different versions of Jesus than you do. It matters because we follow the Jesus that we believe in. Our beliefs determine our actions. So who believes that Jesus is an infant, a child, lives in our hearts as that sweet, innocent little baby? Anybody? Nope. Okay, next, Keith. Who sees him as a man? A man only. A special man, but he was just a man. Who walked on earth just like we do. No? Okay. Next. Who sees him as your buddy? Anybody use him as a buddy? Have him as a buddy, a friend? Yep, put up your sheet so I can see a little bit better. Buddy Jesus? Yep, some of you do. Great. This is at times in my life, that's how I see Jesus too, that I can sit down and have a little chat with him, have tea with Jesus, and we can have a great conversation, and it's good. Next, liberator. Jesus who liberates. Jesus who frees us from our oppression, our shoulders, and frees the world. Okay, Jesus as freedom fighter, liberator. Many in our global south, I remember going to Bethlehem, and the pastor we were speaking to in the Lutheran church there said, don't ever interpret Jesus for us. You have a different interpretation in the West and in the North, because we see Jesus as a liberator, and we will fight for liberation and fight to get out from under oppression, because Jesus is a liberator. It is not without pain and struggle, because Jesus experienced pain and struggle. But Jesus also knew, as we know, that when you get out from under that oppression, your life expands. There is freedom. Jesus, the liberator. Next. Jesus, the judge. Anybody see Jesus as the judge who calls us? Yep. Yep. Okay. Yes, there are some. And that's a fairly typical understanding as well. Jesus has come to judge us for what we do today and what we have done in our lives, and judges us before we get into heaven, or however you think of that. Jesus, the judge. Sometimes angry, which he was, so it's fair. Next, Jesus, the good shepherd. Jesus who tends to his flock. Jesus who loves us, who cares for us, who tends to us. Yep, lots. That's a fairly typical understanding of Jesus. Next, Keith. Jesus, the teacher. Jesus, the rabbi. Aha. I would say when I get into my Bible study, I hear this a lot. If I just follow Jesus' teachings, then I will live the life that God wants me to. Jesus, the good rabbi. Jesus, the teacher. Okay? Keith. Jesus, the spiritual guru. Jesus, who wants us to live a certain way, to transcend the mundane and live in a very spiritual, heightened awareness. Yes, a number of you there as well. Good. And a number of you are putting up your hands for more than one. And we all will hold, of course, more than one understanding of Jesus. Brian. Next. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus Christ, the Savior. The one who came to take away our sins. Take away the sins of the world. Yep, that's a fairly common one for a lot of people as well. Good. Okay, great. Next, Keith. Jesus as King or Lord over all things. Got some big ones there. Maybe it's they like the lions, too. Yep. Jesus, our King and Lord. Yeah, a lot of people put him in that place in their lives. And then we aspire to be obedient to our King. Next, the cosmic Christ. The one who undergirds all things. The creative energy in the world. We don't apply to that Christ even Jesus, really. Jesus represented that cosmic energy that infuses all life. And that's probably the one that I probably would choose as my top understanding. And then, did anybody else have any others? Did anybody else come up with any others? Kim? Family? So, brother. Yeah, family. Heather, what did you have? Healer, yep. Anybody else have one? Evan?
Parent.
Parent, yep. Curtis?
Forgiving.
Forgiver, yes, forgives us. Anybody else have an understanding, Stan? Hope for a world. That came up in DeWitton as well. Jesus is our hope for a future. Anything else? Okay, Cynthia, wonder if the kids could come over because they've been coloring pictures of Jesus. Bring your pictures, and I'm going to invite you to share your pictures with us because from the mouths of kids, right? Come along front on the stairs here if you have your pictures with you. Can you turn this? Okay, the kids have been over there coloring pictures. They may have an understanding of Jesus that we don't have, and they have some wisdom that they can share with us. So did you do a picture? Let's see your picture. Look at that. I love the brightness of that. Who do you think Jesus is?
I don't know.
Don't know? Layla, do you want to get up? You want to show us your picture? Okay. Do you have an idea of who you think Jesus is?
No.
No? Jessica. Great. Uh-huh. Who do you think Jesus is?
Family.
Family. Can I see your picture? Thanks, Sophie. Who do you think Jesus is?
Family.
Yeah, family. Sophia, do you have an idea of who you think Jesus is?
Mom.
Mom. Love that. We always picture God as a man. If Jesus is representing God, his mother and father, right? Brian, let's see your picture. Do you have an idea of who you think Jesus is?
Brave.
Brave. Jesus is brave. That's a great example. Thank you, Brian. That's a great example to set for kids. Jackson.
Lord of everyone.
Lord of everyone. Yep, thanks. Do you have an idea of who Jesus is?
Happy.
Happy. Happy. Yes. And that was the smiling Jesus we have, our laughing Jesus. Layla.
Friend.
Friend. Let's see your picture. That's great. Good. Can we see your picture?
Adam, do you have an idea of who you think Jesus is?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus, thank you. That's firm. Jesus. Yeah, okay. You guys can go back to your, you can either go back to coloring or back to your family. In DeWinton, we had a little fellow there, and we don't usually have kids there, but he said Jesus is a ghost. But it's interesting, if we don't teach something else, that's of course who Jesus is, right? Because he died. And if he died, and we don't talk about resurrection or Jesus still being here, Jesus will be a ghost. Okay, switching back, Keith. Thanks. You're fast. It matters, folks. And I think perhaps as a practice, a spiritual practice, we might want to explore this coming week even, and think about this. Who is Jesus to me? What does Jesus mean to me? What importance does he have in my life? On this Reign of Christ Sunday, the last Sunday of our Christian year, it matters. It challenges us to think, before we move into the Advent season, what Christ has meant to us in our lives. If we're not growing in our understanding of God and who Jesus is to us, how will our faith deepen and our spirituality mature? If we say we're followers of Christ, what Christ do we follow? Let's just reflect on that for a few moments now as we spend some time in prayer and reflection. I'd invite you, if you